see how far I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've gone through 7.5 rows, and I have about 20 more to go, plus like a dozen binders before I'm through everything here. And then I have to have scrubs over to my house to alphabetize it all so I can send it to Thomas. And then slash enter stuff on Card Kingdom.
You just buy list to CK?
Well, I usually, and I don't even know if this is the correct way to do it because the lag time is so much between when I look it up and when it actually gets done. But when I pick stuff, I usually pick pretty deep. And then I just create a pile in front of me after I go through like every 1,000 cards or whatever. And then I just compare the blueprint to Card Kingdom. And whichever, like if it's a nickel or more, I put it in one of the two. But then Card Kingdom pays a lot better than the blueprint on some stuff.
Yeah, they do.
Like, difference between, like, a quarter and 75 cents, which obviously...
They pay insane numbers on just random fucking foils. It's just crazy.
Yeah, the foils are real nice, too. But, so, like, I feel like it's worth my time to look stuff up on Card Kingdom. But then also, like, you know, I've been doing this for a week, and it's not going to be done for a few weeks. So 3 weeks from now, things might have completely changed. So I don't know if it's actually worth my time, but I think on average it probably is.
No, I do. And I used to fucking ship to, like, 4 or 5 places using...
Yeah, me too.
Trader Tools. I had, like, 5 different things going on. I was like, well, I wish I could just ship this one place and, like, eat a lot of my shipping costs.
Yeah, it was nice because Card Kingdom is the best. And once they added foils, Card Kingdom is just the only place to sell stuff. But, like, you know, when
There's
I also
random crap
pull,
that, like, only Thomas buys, though.
Yeah,
when I pull 50 Signets and 50 Panoramas, it, like, generally I might not care. But when I'm going through 150,000 cards, it's going to be a lot of money by the end of it. And occasionally he is better on stuff, but... So, but it's also you have to keep in mind, it's easier to ship to him because all I have to do is have some monkey over to alphabetize cards and I get 5 people alphabetizing and they can go through 5,000 cards and alphabetize them all in a few hours. But for Card Kingdom, you have to punch in every card into the website.
Yeah.
Add it in and then still alphabetize it. So like, you know, and only one person, you can only work on the spread, on the buy sheet on one computer at a time. So I'm just going to end up with people, 2 computers running 2 separate buy orders to Card Kingdom with this pile. So, like, yeah, I'm having to balance, like, Card Kingdom pays more, but it's also going to be more work to send it to them as opposed to taking, you know, 15 cents less from Thomas, but having it be a lot easier. So I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the balance. And it's not a big deal if there's only so many cards, but for 150,000, it's.
Now, I send a Card Kingdom a lot.
Yeah. Plus, I pull stuff out for the store, but. So that's my general process going through it all. So I don't know.
Talking about the process. The motherfucking process.
That should have just been the intro.
Corbin has a process.
It still can be.
It still can be, man.
Did I say anything we can't say?
Did you say any racial slurs from people from Asian countries?
I don't think so.
Because why would you? Welcome to Brainstormbury.
That's your thing, rolling intro, JJ, there you go.
Why would you say anything like that? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Did you guys have a good Christmas?
My Christmas was great.
Yeah, better than Thanksgiving.
And I know our listeners will be happy. I got soundproofing materials. So as I rearrange my office, I can build a little soundproofing case for my microphone, and it'll sound great.
But then how will you record videos?
Well, we're going to figure that all out. I don't know. The point is we're making moves. We're making things better.
We're using your Patreon money for good.
That's true.
We're using it effectively. We're doing stuff that we should be doing.
Despite the epic struggle going on between DJ and Patreon paperwork right now.
Yep, the paperwork is winning.
The paperwork is currently winning, but we'll keep on fighting the good fight. Anyways, I hope Christmas and the New Year's were great for everyone at home. I know I had a good Christmas.
Sorry, Jews. He only hopes Christmas was good. I hope everyone's holiday season, whatever you choose to celebrate, was good.
That's true.
Mine was great.
I
shouldn't scream sorry, Jews. That's not the most progressive thing, also.
I enjoyed New Year's by playing a lot of beer pong for the first time in years. Ben's grandparents watched him, and Mary and I got to go to a party, and it was very nice.
I got my wife a cat for Christmas. Or I should say kitten, I guess. It's like 6 to 8 months
old. Wait, you have a cat in your house now?
Yeah.
I thought you didn't like cats.
I am more of a dog person, so this is something she's been begging for like the past year or two. And when I got it for her, I was like, great, this is going to be like what a dad feels when he has a child in the 1950s. Or when he has a girl in the 1950s.
You messed up the delivery, man, but that was still pretty good.
DJ was telling the story before the cast. I'm like, that's funny, save it for the cast. And then he punted.
Yeah.
And he messed it up. So. DJ, exactly how would a dad feel having a girl in the 1950s?
He would basically just give it to his wife and bitch, just say, here, raise this for me.
Yep. And then he would go smoke out in the garage.
No, he'd smoke in the house. He'd smoke in the living room.
Then he would touch his secretary's butt, like in Mad Men, and be like, I'm Don Draper. Man, that sounds awesome.
So I'm sure that's exactly how it worked, guys.
I don't get to be Don Draper in my current life. I gotta be... There was nobody on Mad Men who was a stay-at-home dad, so I don't know who.
No,
I
think you're, the Manny. You're the Manny.
The Manny?
Anybody watch that show on, It's from This Is Us. It's this show. It's this, like, super, like, drama, crazy, sad show on NBC, and I only know about it because I've seen it on airplanes because it's sometimes the in-flight entertainment. But one of the characters in there, he's an actor, but his role is the Manny, where he's an attractive, so I guess Jason doesn't quite fit the role here, but otherwise dumb nanny to a child. So I guess, you know, Jason hits on some of those counts.
Yeah, to the extent that I'm not my child's father, which... It's kind of worse than implying I'm dumb and unattractive. So, way to go.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy 2018. Good to know that nothing's changed.
I mean, you really think my wife's cheating? I'm the one who's home all day. She should be worried about me.
So here's the thing. Jason, your turf is being encroached on.
By whom?
I don't know if anyone has watched the TCG Player preview video for the new Merfolk, which I got a preview, by the way. I'm very excited. Kumina, Tyrant of Orazca.
You're a tyrant of this podcast right now.
That's true. I'm sure we're going to talk about this, but this is a story worth telling. We did a preview video for it, and in this preview video, it is a two-minute sort of a cooking show parody where one of the TCG player members, Guy Fieri's, ups a magic cards to blend up Kumina.
Into a beverage.
Yep.
Which TCG player member?
One of the guys in the office. So it was pretty great that...
Why don't you say who it was?
This is about making fun of you.
Okay.
I'm not trying to call out anyone else's game here for being Guy Fieri, because that's who it is. It's Guy Fieri or Fietti or whatever it is.
I think you'll find it's Fietti.
Will I? Okay.
Yeah, you've got racing stripes on your fridge, you kind of get to decide what people call you. That's how it goes.
Okay, good point. Anyways, so we're going to talk about Rivals of Ixalan stuff, but we're going to keep it short here later in the cast because we're recording this on Monday, and it turns out by the time this episode comes out, nearly the entire set will have been previewed. So we'll keep it, you know, short and sweet with what we know so far, but I know there's some Merfolk. Fulfilled a lifelong dream by previewing Merfolk.
It wasn't a lifelong dream. It was like a 4-year dream because that's how long you've been on this train.
Merfolk train? I've been on this train for like 8 years.
I went off the train.
Oh man, it's a good train. This card's sweet. It's a 2/4 for 3. It's a blue, green, and a generic. It's a 2/4. It taps another Merfolk you control to become unblockable. Tap 3, untap Merfolk, draw a card. Tap 5, put a 1/1 counter on each Merfolk you control.
This is worse than the story about you being poor in Europe.
This story would have been over. This is literally just talking about a card, man. Just calm yourself. It's going to be okay, kid.
This card's pretty good in standard. Is it going to be okay? Because you're still talking.
I don't know.
And when you're done talking, you'll still be a member of this podcast. Like, I don't think
it sounds like everyone's doing all right here, then. What do you think about this in Commander?
I think it's better as a build around than Tishana. I think it's probably the best Merfolk Tribal. Like, better than Sig, better than other Sig, better than that...
Yeah.
Jor Kadeen. No, what's that guy's
Jorah,
name?
Jorian.
Yeah. Son of Jor-El. Better than that thing, man. Like, Tishana kind of rewards you for going wide, but oh, man, does this reward you for going wide? Because, like, all of a sudden, you start putting counters on all your stuff. And actually, I think this card is so good as a build around, I've actually selected a pick of the week based on building around this new Merfolk card. So as much as I want to poop on Corbin for being a Merfolk nerd, I kind of think it's build aroundable.
I also think it's very good in Standard. I don't know if Merfolk will be good, but I think it is good in that deck, very good in that deck. So maybe at least post-rotation, or we'll see what else we can get. But I was pretty excited about it. All right, we will get to the rest of it, though. Let's go ahead and, before we dig all the way into the Rival stuff, let's break some bulk real quick. I have been deep in bulk for the past week at home, so I'm ready for this.
Same Z's.
Same.
Breaking bulk time. Breaking bulk time. Break.
Oh, yeah, breaking bulk. There's so much good stuff.
It's a pick. Breaking bulk. The end.
Okay, so this one is technically from Lorwyn, but it also has eight other printings. Like, literally eight other
printings. Was Lorwyn the first printing?
Yes, Lorwyn was the first printing, and then it has had eight other printings in addition to being in Lorwyn, and it is a blue... How much info do I give you guys?
Spell Stutter Spray?
No.
No, it hasn't been printed that much.
It's a blue creature. That's too much info.
That's been printed eight times. Wow,
yeah.
Lorwyn. Oh, is it Muldrifter?
Yeah, that's too much info. You easy mode.
I've gone through quite a few of those in the past. I have Lorwyn bulk at home. It's the dream.
But yeah, it's Muldrifter's 75 cents still, even after eight printings. One of them was an FNM promo. It got a couple commander decks. It was in dual deck Jace versus Chandra. It was in dual deck anthologies with Jace versus Chandra. It's been in, like, everything, and it's still, like, 75 cents. The reason I bring up Muldrifter is because it is playable in Paper Pauper, and Mono Blue is one of the better decks in Paper Pauper, and you can also...
Paper Pauper?
There's also, like, a Jeskai Blink deck that plays Ghostly Flicker and Momentary Blink. There's a lot of things you can do with Muldrifter. It's just a value player's dream, and it's a value, like, financer's dream, too, because you pull them out of bulk all the time, and... People who just play Standard and Modern are like, oh, they're Muldrifters. Here's my dual deck garbage, or here's my Commander 2014 garbage that I didn't play with or didn't use or whatever. And then you pull out Muldrifters, and then you're happy.
Yeah.
Man, I would be really upset if somebody made the Paper Pauper, like, alliteration joke literally a year after me and got all the credit for it.
Would you?
But luckily, that didn't happen, so that'll be
good.
Fine.
Yeah.
Let's not worry about
Jason's
it.
Jason's jokes are 100% original all the time.
Parallel thinking, Corbin. Parallel thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Paper Pauper parallels?
Yep. That's right. All right. I'll go next. I'm going to go some recent Standard here. It's a red instant from Shadows over Innistrad. And it's surprised. It's worth more than you would think. More than I thought.
Fiery Temper.
It is Fiery Temper. However.
It's from Torment, man.
Okay. I guess. I mean, sure. But I said recent. I was going with the... I mean, it's in Shadows, so...
All right.
The other one, though, DJ, is Lightning Axe is as well.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's a great discard outlet, because it gets rid of... I played it in Modern, actually, in the Grish... No, it had no Shoal. It was just a Grizzlebrand.
It's deck. A great one-mana discard outlet that's also, it turns out, removal.
It just kills Ptarmigan.
It's kind of just value,
sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised by both of those, even after they rotated from Standard, being worth more than I thought. You know, they're 50, 75 cents, and sometimes you can get up to a quarter for them occasionally. So definitely better value than I thought for something that a lot of people probably have just hanging out in Shadows of Innistrad. Plus, yes, Torment. But what I'm actually finding on some of this stuff is we move more and more into the era of new card frame. And I know we're some number of years into it now, but a lot of times the newer versions of cards hold a premium over the old ones.
Just because people want to have the same frame. It's not even about the art's better, the frame's better. It's
exactly.
Like, I want consistency in my art frame, and look, I can't get the new cards in the old frame, so I got no choice.
Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon, and it even extends up to rares, you know, playable rares, like Grim Lavamancer is a good example, and so on.
Isn't the older Grim Lavamancer worth more?
Lavamancer might be... I may be getting that flipped, but there are several. I just remember I had a pile at the store the other day where I had to double-check the prices because of the difference.
Yeah.
And Lavamancer might have been the exception in that pile, but the trend exists. I don't remember.
Well,
I have to check.
Aren't there several different borders on Lavamancer?
Technically, like the arch enemy Nuggle boss one is the most recent border. The M12 one is the quote unquote modern border, I guess. And then there's obviously the Torment.
Wasn't there? Oh, was M12? I kind of thought there was a white bordered M set version of, but I guess not.
There is no white border Grim Monolith.
You know what? That's actually probably the reason.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I got those backwards. Lava Mancer is the exception. Because the M12 version doesn't actually have the stamp, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't have the holo stamp. It's everything that has the stamp where it's sort of been the that's sort of been the way it goes.
Well, I'm not super worried about people counterfeiting Grim Lava Mancer, but I think as a rule people kind of feel better with the holo stamp, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, Jason.
So here's a card I ran across. It's got one printing, and it was in Zendikar, and it is a red card.
One red printing from Zendikar.
It's one red mana, I'll say that.
Goblin Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
Yep, got a huge...
That card's worth quite a bit, actually.
Like $1.50 retail.
Yeah.
Thanks to the 8-whack deck.
Yeah, yep. But exactly, because it got the other Bushwhacker variant.
Yeah, Reckless Bushwhacker. It actually spiked really hard then, too.
Yeah, well, what happened is because of that, and also people are starting to build Goblin decks because, like, that Goblin versus Merfolk deck made a lot of the Goblins, like, trivial. So if you could build a decent Krenko deck for under $50, and Krenko is really trending this week. It's, like, it's in the top 10 of new decks on EDH Rec, and I think Goblin versus Merfolk has a lot to do with that because it made the stuff like Warn Instigator like trivial. So your expensive cards are like Purphoros. But like what's expensive in that deck besides like Kiki Jiki and then like your
Kiki Jiki's not even expensive. It's like $5 at this point.
Yeah. So like if you want to run Goblin Settler or something like that, sure, but like for the most part, the stuff in that deck's pretty cheap. Like Purphoros is like the third most expensive card even in really really intensive builds. Like everything that is really good is cheap. You got like, you know, Goblin Lackey and Matron and Skull Clamp and just Krenko does really dumb stuff with Paradox Engine and Umbral Mantle. So like,
Siege does dumb stuff by itself. Actually,
yeah. So like, so Krenko's just really good. If you found have ways to untap Krenko, you can just usually like Impact Tremors the whole table in one turn. It's pretty
also
busted.
Also Goblins is a real modern deck that's kind of coming around to be a little better. It's always existed and really hasn't changed necessarily that much. But it's sort of it's just one of those cyclical modern things where if everybody is sort of playing these slower control decks and or Tron, you could just kill people. Like the cards that are good against Burn are not necessarily good against Goblins, and even something like Core Firewalker, which is basically game over against Burn, does not necessarily beat Goblins because sometimes they just put four things on the table and then bushwhack you on turn four, three, or four, and you have there's two pile drivers or whatever, and all of a sudden there's 20 points of damage coming at you, and by the way, those creatures aren't going away next turn. So
yeah, and you got a Wrath in hand and you're dead.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Like the control decks aren't necessarily fast enough to beat Goblins, and the Tron decks, which rely a lot of times on, say, they've gone away from Pyroclasm type effects more to something like Collective Brutality, which is great against Burn, but not quite as good against Goblins. So I'm not saying Goblins is going to take over or whatever, but it is a relevant modern deck more so now than it ever has been before.
Plus, it's cheap. Plus, it's one of those decks that if you get the nuts and get lucky, you're just going to like KO people before they're even ready. Plus,
also,
I kind of got away from playing controller decks and played more aggro, like win or lose, I'm done in 20 minutes type stuff.
Right, exactly.
Just because it was like grueling to go to time every round.
Guides are
$10. Definitely benefit of being done.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that'll go back up. Because it's any deck that wants it will buy four of them at a time. Oh, guys, can you name the other 2-1 red mana non-creature goblin spells that are worth more than 50 cents?
Tarfire and...
Oh, one red, okay.
You said...
Tarfire doesn't count.
Wait, what was
Quest
the question?
For the Goblin Lord.
I was asking if you guys knew Goblin Grenade and Goblin War Strike were both ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, War Strike I could see because it was not printed since Scourge, but Goblin Grenade's been printed.
I've gone through a lot of War
times.
Strikes in the past.
That's another one where the M12 version is worth a lot more, similar to Arcane Denial, because like the Fallen Empire's versions of all the Goblin grenades are worth garbage, but the M12 one has,
actually,
like...
every place I'm seeing, the buy list price is higher on the M12 one, but the retail price is higher on the Fallen Empire's one, from what I'm seeing.
Well, also, Quest for the Goblin Lord, 50 cents.
Yeah, that's a...
It is a one red... It's not a goblin spell, but it is a one red goblin spell, so...
I'll allow it. There's just a lot of really cheap stuff in these decks, so the decks are really inexpensive for people to put together. But they'll buy, you know, the whole deck, whereas, you know, the stores run out of stock, because the stuff's so cheap, stores run out of stock of it. So they have, like, a real low spread just so they can sell to people those Krenkos or Kiki Jikis or whatever, just because they love to have that crap in stock. So the buy list, the spread's real low on that kind of stuff. You know, they'll sell it real cheap, but they just want to have the stuff in stock that they can make the sale. So the spread's usually low on crap like Frenzy Goblin and, you know, all that junk.
All right. So let's go quick hits here from Rivals Over Ixalan. Just because, you know, like I said, we know we can't be timely, so we just want to touch on what we like, not necessarily making any wide predictions here. But out of what we've seen today, what stands out to you guys?
The Immortal Sun is the best card printed in the past 5 years.
Whoa. I mean, I was talking on Money Draft this week with JR, and he kind of doesn't like it, but I kind of think...
No, I'm not talking about power level. I'm just talking about in number of times I will buy a card and then sell a card.
So the Immortal Sun,
yeah.
6 mana, legendary artifact. Players can't activate Planeswalker's loyalty abilities.
That's one.
At the beginning of your draw step, draw an extra card.
That's two.
Spells you cast cost one less to cast.
That's three.
And creatures you control get plus one, plus one.
That's a Planeswalker. That's Jace the Mind Sculptor.
No, like, I'm not talking about, like, its power level and how many decks I'm putting in, because I don't think the card's that good. I'm not putting it in any of my decks. But that is a card that just every EDH player will love to buy for the next 5 years, and it's probably not going to get, like, reprinted too many times because they want it to sell the set.
I have decks that would play that.
It's good, but it's decent. Not like it's going to be put in more decks than it deserves to be put in. Like, it's like Temple of the False God. People are going to read it, go, oh, this
I
is
think
an
it's
EDH
like Caged Sun.
Well, I think it's actually more like Staff of Nin, guys. But
I'm talking about better. In number of decks that will play it versus number of decks that probably should play it.
Sure, people, I guess.
I don't think Caged Sun is overplayed relative to its.
Yeah, I mean, Caged Sun's nuts, but this isn't Caged Sun either. But I do think it's very close. It's a lot closer to Staff of Nin. And Staff of Nin, I've seen a decent amount of decks.
Right, but I think
Staff of Nin's the same mana cost, it draws an extra card. Yeah, I mean, this is better by a lot. I don't know if I'd play it in... The only one I can consider it in Oloro. I could consider it in Azami, maybe. But I am also kind of meh on it overall. But I agree that it's going to be very popular.
I think it's probably going to be overrated just because it looks so impressive. But I also think that what DJ's saying is true to the extent that I think it'll just change hands a lot. This is going to be a card you won't be able to keep in stock, and I guess whether it's good or not is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're going to be able to buy these from every competitive player ever, and then sell them to every.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it matters, and it matters only in the sense of like what we think of the long term price of it, because. Yeah, it's going to be popular regardless, but if it's good, it's $5 to $6 in a year or two, as opposed to maybe a couple. I mean, look at Panharmonicon. But if it's just it won't really go anywhere. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I know. That's why I said $5 or $6, but, you know, we'll see.
And I think it's just a good $5 or $6 card. I don't think it's going to go like 10. I don't think you stock up on them because it's insane in Commander. I don't think you dump them because it's garbage in Commander. I just think it's like a card that you're consistently going to be able to buy for two, sell for $5 or $6 for like the rest of eternity.
Yep. It's just one of those cards that's going to be what the price it is forever. So you trade your standard stuff that's going to be good for 6 months to the competitive.
Do we actually have
player.
A pre-order price on this? I'm looking for it. I guess we will by the time this podcast comes out, probably. But
I mean, who cares?
Star City's pre-order is 8, but that's like...
That's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sure. Okay. Just gives us somewhere to start with. All right, I'll talk about one I'm pretty, very excited about. Journey to Eternity.
Yeah, this card's great.
Green, black, and one enchant creature you control. It's a legendary enchantment. When enchanted creature dies, return... into the battlefield under your control, then return Journey to Eternity, to the battlefield transformed. And when transformed, it's a legendary land that can add one mana of any color. And for 3 green and black, tap, return target creature from graveyard to the battlefield. So obviously the dream is putting it on Sakura Tribe Elder on turn 3, sacking your elder, getting it back, sacking it again, flipping this, and just having a million mana on turn 4.
I mean, there were... This is already similar to Pattern of Rebirth, right? So,
kind of, Pattern, right? Of Rebirth.
So, but like in terms of
Pattern's
like,
pretty broken,
you,
but
yeah, because you have all kind of cards that you like. You play Sakura Tribe Elder or you know Viscerasea or stuff like that.
Yeah, in the use case
in
the
green black
sort of
decks,
same.
You already have the sac outlets. You got the self sacking creatures plus you got the sac outlets. So like this goes right into any deck
Carador.
That was playing Pattern.
It's going straight into my Carador deck.
Oh yeah, Carador, Mazarek,
Marin.
Marin, yeah.
Yeah.
So like in all the decks where this is good, like there's already, and it's dumb, because man, I just like it a lot.
Yeah, this card's gonna be great. Let's look at it.
And I don't know. I think it might be standard playable too. So that's unfortunate, because if this does end up standard playable, because like
it's
being able to put creatures back into play is so powerful, then you might not be able to get it as cheap as you'd like.
Well, I'd say there's currently not any deck in standard that could use this. So
yeah, it's really hard for this to be put on a guy and turn like any turn where there's a Harness Lightning at the ready.
Yeah, or a Braid, or Shock, or basically anything. And then you have to wait to get rid of it, and then you have to be some sort of. I don't think it's gonna. It could, I guess, but I don't
We'd
think
have
the
to
pieces
see something
or
else
the format
drastically like game changing.
Yeah, well, or just post-rotation, right?
Or something with 4 toughness.
Yeah.
Harness Lightning doesn't care about that.
Harness Lightning kills that a lot of the time.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't really...
It's powerful,
I can't predict
but
what Standard's going to do, but if this does get cheap, then that's even better for us then.
The pre-order on it's 4.
That's too much.
Which is... It's too much, but it's...
But it's a pr-
it's
also
a reasonable
pre-order.
Price. Right? Like, it's probably like a $2 card, but it's not unreasonable to pay $4 to have this on release weekend.
I guess.
I just want a foil.
Yeah, the foil is probably going to look sweet, especially if they do some sort of similar buy a box thing where they do the maps of these cards again.
Yeah, I really like Search for Azcanta buy a box promo.
Well, you guys know how much I love cards. Like, that make tokens. I like Anointed Procession. I like stuff that gives you a creature token. So Glorious Destiny is one of the best Anthem effects that I think we've seen.
I thought you were going to go in a whole different direction with that.
If you have City's Blessing, the creatures get Vigilance, which is really cool.
Glorious
Destiny has Ascend, and you choose a creature type, and creatures of the chosen type get +1/+1, and Vigilance if you have City's Blessing.
I mean, it's coming right on the back of the, you know, the Tribal Commander decks and a Tribal Standard block. It's, I don't love it, but I think I agree it's going to be somewhat popular.
I think this will be a $2 card that you're just going to sell.
I think it's going to be
It's going to be one of those you get in. You think it'll be what?
I think it's a bulk rare. I don't like this card. I thought you were going to talk about the Sapperling one, and I was going to agree with you, but...
Well, I do like Tendershoot Dryad, actually, and that's a card that... It's like an Anthem effect in and of itself. It also has Ascend, but when you have City's Blessing, your Sapperlings get +2/+2. So you
and
don't get to choose, but like there are enough things that make... Enough good things that make Sapperling.
Was this thing's like a mini Verdant Force, and you get one every upkeep? So you pass the turn around a 3-person table, and you have like 4 new permanents.
Oh,
yeah,
each upkeep.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
It's each upkeep. It's a Verdant Force.
Oh, that changes things actually a lot.
Yeah, that's why I like this thing way better.
I miss that. Yeah,
the card's dumb. I figured I would talk about that next, but actually, they just spoiled, like, 5 minutes ago, Glorious Destiny went up, and I wanted to talk about that, because I think it's one of the better Anthem effects, and people play that crap. People play Glorious Anthem, so they should be playing this instead, for sure.
Yeah. All right, so there's one I'm going to touch on that I think is relevant for Standard.
Enter the Unknown?
No.
Bonus Hunger?
Nope. I wasn't trying to make you guys guess, but keep going. No, I think Enter the Unknown
Silver
Gale
add-up. Corbin wants to talk about Silver Gale
add-up. And that card's obviously great. No, Enter the Unknown, the 1-mana explore, and you can play an extra land. Well, you have to have a creature to control.
I think that card's
garbage. You explore, then you explore. Yeah, you need a creature. Yeah. That's the way it's
That's why it costs one. Yeah, it's kind of cool, though. No, but I'm actually talking about let me make sure I pronounce this right here. As Adzokin?
The Adzokin Seer?
Adzokin Seer. One green white, human druid, tapped out a mana of any color to your mana pool. Sack it, return dinosaur from your graveyard to your hand. So, and it's a 2/3, which means its stats aren't irrelevant. It can trade with some number of things on turn 3. But it ramps you to your... It ramps to a turn 5 Registrar Alpha. And then when they kill your Registrar Alpha, it brings Registrar Alpha right back on curve, say on turn 5, or whatever other dinosaur. So I think this... I don't know. You had 2 mana ramp things already for dinosaur decks, and I don't know... I think you could get away with playing Drover the Mighty and this in a dinosaur ramp deck that's trying to get to Gishath. And the important thing is, you know, it might not matter at all. It might matter in rotation. It might matter before. But if nothing else, I think come rotation, this probably slots into the Gishath decks that people are going to be trying to build for Standard. And it's just, you know, it's a second set uncommon that is just worth, you know, holding on to.
A couple things. First of all, we are like, there's not enough dinosaurs for the dinosaur deck. But like now with 2 sets worth of crap, I kind of think maybe at least for FNM, there's a deck possible.
Of course, yeah. Well,
and also having a 2 power mana dork is relevant if you're playing 4 copies of Galta Primal Hunger.
Right.
Because this is 2 pips off Galta. So basically this being in play, you have reduced the power of Galta by 3. Essentially, or the casting cost by 3.
Yeah, Galta is the 12 mana 12/12, but it costs X less where X is the total power of creatures you control and has trample. So yeah, you know, if you go, well, and the Seer is not a dinosaur, so it doesn't say turn on Drover the Mighty, but
yeah,
so you can't go Drover into this and then have 5 power plus 2 mana and for your Galta. But yeah, Galta is another nice top end card. So, and imagine hitting it off of Gishath, so.
That's why the removal is so bad in this block, because they want to be able to summon a dinosaur. You're like, all right, I summon a 12/12 dinosaur, and someone's like, Doomblade, yeah.
It'll be very interesting, because, you know, there's a couple things. I don't think anyone expects a standard banning. I've seen it discussed, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think we're going to get, whether it's this set or not until Dominaria, but we're going to get energy hate cards. So, I think that those are going to...
Not energy specific, but like counters can't be put on stuff kind of energy hate.
Well, Craig Wesco wrote a really good article on TCG Player last week about this, but he sort of brought up Grafdigger's Cage as the perfect analog, where it shuts down specific things, but can never be main decked. So imagine a card that was 2 mana or 1 mana, it was just an artifact, that said when it comes into play, all players lose all counters, players can't gain counters. So then it becomes a sideboard, a narrow but sideboard card in Modern for Infect, but also is the kind of card that shuts down energy when you play it on turn 2, but also shuts down energy when you play it on turn 6, but, you know, is bad in multiples and it is obviously just a sideboard card, right? So that sort of thing, I think we'll get there at some point. I think that is the sort of stuff that needs to exist because they don't want to ban anything from energy. They don't want energy to dominate till you know, rotation, but
and Morrow
it's
said
possible
that
it does.
He thought not having energy cards that interacted with energy was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just a matter of what their lead time available to fix that is, and you know they have play design. I'm sure they'll find something. But the question is, maybe it comes out in Dominaria, maybe it comes out in this set, maybe it doesn't come out till whenever. But at some point, we're just going to kind of get over energy, whether that happens due to hate cards pushing it out of the metagame or its rotation in October. And then you just kind of unleash all of these tribal decks that have just been waiting in the wings for energy to stop being the top deck. So
right, but
whenever
that
happens,
is the time to
all
talk
these...
about those tribal things like right before that happens, or when we get that spoilers, or is it like right now, like 6 months in advance? Like that's
well, that's why I brought up this card in particular. Right, it's just the kind of thing where it doesn't matter much now, most likely, but this is the time you're going to get them. You know, you're going to see a bunch of as Zokin Seers or whatever over the next month, but 3 months from now you're not going to see any. 6 months from now you're not going to see any, and that's when it might become relevant, and that's how you end up with $1 to $2 uncommons. You know, everyone ignored energy, took a while to break out too, and everyone ignored Harness Lightning or Long Tusk Cob, and now those are cards worth real money. So you can get ahead of the curve just by finding this sort of thing in draft leftovers and setting it back. So that's the only reason why I wanted to touch on it.
I kind of like that other dinosaur, too, the Thrashing Brontodon.
Yeah, 3-4 for 3.
I mean, it's nothing that's I would want to play in EDH, but I really kind of like that Unlimited, because it's got a relevant body, and, like, it's got a non-trivial ability.
Yeah, 3-4 for 3 is a big game.
Yeah, you put Journey to Eternity on it, bam, sacrifices itself.
That's true, that's true.
You like that? So I kind of think some of this stuff's going to be real... We're good for Limited. I think this is a well-put-together set.
Why is Form of the Dinosaur so bad?
Oh, it could be so good.
It's flavorful, man.
It's
Form of the Dinosaur, 6-mana enchantment.
You don't gain your toughness back at the end of the turn. You're supposed to...
Yeah, I agree. It's not
like
good.
Form of the Dragon. Well, you can't keep resetting your life at 15.
No, but they can make it like 8 or something.
Well
Form of the Dragon is obviously not a dinosaur, comparing though, this to, where your life total will go back to 5.
Right, but like if you're a dinosaur, I think you can have 8 toughness or 8 life total and just reset to 8 every turn.
What dinosaur even has 15 toughness?
Exactly. That's why I don't think this is
okay.
Reasonable. Well, you made it 15 because if you made your life total 5 and then you had to fight every creature, you would just die.
It makes your life total 15 when it comes into play. And if you're upkeep, you deal 15 damage to creature an opponent controls, and it deals damage equal to its power to you. So, I don't know. It's a nice walk with Endless... What's the enchantment... From Hour of Devastation that makes all your opponent's creatures one.
Oh, Overwhelming Splendor.
Overwhelming Splendor. Now we're talking. You can be a dragon and your opponent can have Overwhelming Splendor.
Then you're blasting a 1-1 for 15 damage.
Yeah. Yeah, but if there's some sort of a...
That's how Godzilla's got to feel, right?
What if we get some sort of sweet enchantment? What if you get some sort of thing to tie all enchantments together? You can like go get enchantments out of your library. You can just... Or something, you know? Sacrifice, put an enchantment from your hand into play. I don't know.
I want to live
in the Form of
the
Dinosaur were a curse. You could play it on your opponent.
All right. I think we pretty much touched on everything, right?
You don't want to talk about Zapalta, Primal Dawn,
whatever,
for
man.
Dorandex?
It's an 8-mana keyword soup creature.
Yeah, it was the same little shit that went to Wizards R&D for Take Your Kid to Work Day. Was playing with his crayons. He's like, "Daddy, can I design another card?" He's like, "Jesus Christ, you're 13 years old. Why, stop calling me daddy." He's like, "Yeah, I want to design a card." So
I almost
like,
got fired last time for Chromanticore, you little shit.
I almost got fired, but no. Here,
Flying Double Strike, Vigilance, Trample, Indestructible, 4/8 for 8 mana. Why not?
This, yeah. If you look at like
that thing,
custom
looks
magic
like
card
it should be
size,
on a cereal
people
box.
Design crap like this. Like when I was 12. When I was 12, my friends would design crap like this. You remember the first, like, MTG the Invitational winner card or whatever that was a mana of each color?
No. Oh, yeah, the 1996 World Championship.
Yeah, yeah. It was a one mana of every color and XX. Where
and
X
its
is...
power was, like, your opponent's life total or whatever.
Yeah. And you could play it out of your deck for 5 mana or whatever. Just stupid crap like that. You give a 12-year-old a blank card designer, and they'll come up with this, Zatelpa. What if we had a creature with every ability? Then it would probably have to cost a lot of mana and not be very good. What if this could be your commander? Then you're mono white. What are you doing?
Yeah,
the enchantments
cool,
you could put
whatever.
On this, though, it would be like, give it protection from creatures and crap like that, and give it Imperial armor. So it's
no,
like,
this,
the art
this guy
on
goes
this
in
card
the Odric deck.
Sweet. Sure,
this guy
man.
Goes in Odric,
yeah,
Lunark, Marshall
sure.
to give all your guys Flying Double Strike, Vigilance, Trample. Right.
And yeah. Indestructible. Sure, why not?
This goes in the... This is hilarious in Odric. So yeah, there you go. You put it in Doran, then it's an 8/8. Get there!
Sure.
Zatalpa Primal Dawn.
So actual conversation. I saw people talk about it with God Pharaoh's Gift in Standard, but I don't really think it's an upgrade in that deck. It doesn't have lifelink, which is a big deal. Like the reason God's Pharaoh Gift is able to turn the corner is they get Angel of Invention. They put servos on the ground to block. Plus, they're going to gain 4 life or whatever it is. So it's like an 8-point life swing plus blockers or an even bigger life swing. Whereas you get this, and it's not going to swing your life totals at all. You're just going to die.
If you're already losing, this doesn't help. It blocks one creature.
Yeah, exactly. So that's...
And they just tap it with the Glorybringer.
Well... Glorybringer wouldn't look so good against this card. Glorybringer deals damage, doesn't tap things.
Oh, that's right. What am I thinking? I don't know.
Yeah, either way, this just isn't going to do anything. So,
I was thinking that dragon that dealt a damage to flyers and tapped it.
Thunderball?
How long has it been since that was a card? Jesus.
That was
well, Thunderball was the first of that, right? And then we got Stormbreath, and then we got Glorybringer.
It's because I just drafted a Thundermaw, that's why.
Yeah, there
you go. I actually like Iconic Masters draft, but nobody wants to draft it anymore because Unstable came out and everyone's like, I don't want to pay $30 to draft anymore.
So this is relevant. You brought that up. Unstable, we're out of stock and cannot get more until February.
Yep.
Well, it's not ever, like that card's going to be a slow burn, right? Like, people are going to love...
I'm shocked that this wasn't just printed more. Like, people I can't believe we have to wait a month.
Yeah, people have been clamoring for 10 years. It's like Wizards didn't trust people when they said they wanted it.
Well, the thing is, well, I don't not necessarily blame them for that, but I thought that this, just in general, was being treated like a regular set and therefore would be print to demand, and therefore 2 weeks ago when everyone had demand for it, it would get printed again. Or, you know, a month ago, or whatever the process is, right? Like, yeah. I'm just shocked that we're going a month without having access to a set that is not a limited run set. Like, it was easier to get freaking Eternal Masters than this.
I'm shocked that they're still using the crap printers that are doing such a bad job. And they
The ones they're using for supplemental sets.
Jason, the real problem here is card quality. The card stock.
Yep. It's about ethics and card quality, guys.
I'm not the only one with that experience that you can't get any more until February.
No, I have that experience too, and is that one of the reasons that the unstable lands haven't changed in price at all?
It could be. It very well could be because we were short on it from the very beginning. Like, we got our initial run, but it was very popular, and we weren't sure if we could get more the next week. We got more, but now we can't get any more. Like, we owe people packs, myself included, and we just can't give anyone any of them out until we get our next run of it in February. And
Which is way too late.
Yeah, you're going to miss
the boat. The EDH community's rules committee is like, you can play this till January. I was like, just kidding. You can't get any of the cards. And people were like, oh, I can get $195 store credit for my foil steam flogger boss. And I'm just like, all right, I'll admit I predicted none of this.
So, I'm just shocked. Like, just shocked that they wouldn't have more queued up ready to go for Christmas.
Because there's so many, I don't know, man.
It's just asinine, right? Business practices to not have your finger...
It's asinine to have Commander so far from Christmas, because that was a Christmas people asked for this for Christmas set before.
That's true. I think anything around the holidays, they're ready to just hit that button as soon as it looks. And they knew within the first week that it was selling well, because Rosewater posted about it on his Tumblr. They knew that people liked it and were buying it. Yeah. I just can't believe it took them
with those lands
from then,
in there. Those
a month
fucking
and a half.
Lands, they're printing money with those.
A month and a half from that, and from him saying that. Is when you can get more, and it's like that within that first week you better just have it ready to go. And can't take I don't know how long it takes to run something through, but it seems like you should just have to put the run back on and run the printers for a couple days.
Well, they have to have like just I don't know how many, but like multiple different print shops all running.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know what their supply chain's like, but. Man, it just seems
it's just surprising, and it's definitely going to make me lose my bet on Popper on the unstable lands. I know that.
I think you'd lose that today. It's been like 4 weeks.
We said like 6 months.
You said a month.
I don't think so.
Somebody who listens to the podcast, post in Discord right now and make Corbin look bad.
We said a month.
Might have said a month. I don't know.
And that was like 4 weeks.
I thought we said 11 years.
Look, man, I made several prop bets.
Corbin was banking on a nuclear apocalypse.
I made several prop bets recently, and none of them are going well.
I'm not happy about winning the FOGO. I'm just happy that I get to drag Corbin away from a B-dubs. I want to find a FOGO.
That's when you got to cash that in. You're like, we're headed to a B-dubs, and you're like, FOGO bet, FOGO bet.
I also bet the 76ers would have finished top four in the East, and that one's looking a little rough. The Bucks came out of nowhere. Anyways, I'm losing
East.
All the FOGO bets right now. It's fine.
Milwaukee's in the East?
Huh?
Is that what you're talking? Milwaukee is in the East?
Yes.
In basketball?
Uh-huh.
Aren't all the basketball teams in the world on either coast?
Well, there's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, great.
There's the Dallas Mavericks. There's the Houston Rockets. There are the New Orleans Pelicans.
The New Orleans Pelicans? That's not a real team.
That's
not a real basket. Shut up. You're just making shit up now.
There's the Utah Jazz.
There's the Kansas City Unicorns. You're just making shit up. The Pelicans? There's no way that's a real basketball team.
Even more interesting than that is that their star player is famous for his unibrow.
Oh, that guy. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
So your 2018
that weirdo.
And that's a thing. I don't know how he got to the NBA without anyone telling him he should fix that, but it's working for him, I guess. Why not?
You got fix your brows money, dude.
whatever, good for him. He should be more worried about fixing his knees. He's injured constantly. But all right, let's move on. There was big news on the Grand Prix scene this week for something that some of us on this podcast care about, and that would be Popper.
Channel Fireball
Poppers
made a tweet
for peasants
about
Channel Fireball bringing Popper to official side events at Grand Prix over the next couple months, at least as a test run, pushed heavily by some, you know, big names in the community. The professor's been on this Popper train for a long time. I don't think it's going to do that well. I'm going to be honest. I just don't think.
Yeah,
it's
but no one cares
wallpaper.
What you say.
That's fine. I mean, we ran it at my store and it died within a month. Yeah, obviously that's just. I'm not saying that means anything. I'm just saying that it's actually just hard to get people to build decks for something that they're not going to play very often. It's the Canadian Highlander problem. It's the Tiny Leaders problem. You know, you can build a Commander deck because you're going to play all the time. You can build a Legacy or Mono deck, they don't change. Popper, like, are you really going to go through all the effort of putting one together to go play a side event at a Grand Prix?
I mean,
maybe.
It depends. Like, if the side events do well, they said that, like, a main event isn't outside the realm of possibility.
Well, the Popper meta doesn't
well,
change
that's,
all that
that's
much,
not,
so you
that's,
can keep the deck put together.
That's fan service.
That's literally what...
DJ. I'm not... The main event, that is fan service. We're nowhere... That's got to come from Wizards. That's not a thing Channel Fireball gets to decide.
No, but they can advocate for it.
Sure. In 3 years from now, maybe there'll be a...
Sure, that's
a
fine.
Grand Prix, but it's very unlikely. Very, very unlikely. So I don't know.
Why
we'll
don't
EDH used to be
Fogo
a format that
it?
Like you didn't know when you were going to play very often.
Do what?
EDH used to be a format where you didn't know when you were going to play very often. Not everyone.
How
had...
close are we to the EDH Grand Prix?
I'm not talking about having an EDH Grand Prix, but that used to be a grassroots format where like one person
I know,
in every
man.
Store had.
I'm not disagreeing. I like I said, we'll see how it goes. But the difference is Popper is also 1v1, and we know that Commander succeeds as a grassroots format because it's a multiplayer casual experience. And Tiny Leaders, for instance, was a 1v1 format that died. Canadian Highlanders is a 1v1 format that hasn't really taken off. Like, there's lots of fun 1v1 formats, but just by the nature of being a competitive 1v1 thing, they are not poised for the grassroots success.
True, and a lot of those two other formats are because you have to invest into fucking legacy staples for your deck to be competitive.
I agree. I'm not
Corbin,
disagreeing
you,
with any
do you
of that.
Play Canadian Highlander anymore?
I do online sometimes. No, my
oh,
point
do you
is,
play in paper? Why don't
I
you
do
play
not,
paper?
Jason. No reason.
No.
Also, you have to keep in mind, the appeal of Popper, especially online, is huge in that it's relatively inexpensive because, of course, you know, all the cards are cheap. But think about in paper. Sure, that the same principle kind of applies. Your deck is cheap. But going to a Grand Prix is not cheap. You know, getting a plane or a car ride and a hotel and food and everything for the weekend, that is not a cheap experience. So, you know, whether or not, whether someone has to spend $50 on their Popper deck or $200 on their standard deck and still pay entry fees to the GP,
can be
right?
Prohibitively expensive to Poppers.
I'm not saying that the GPs are the only places you're going to be able to play Popper, though.
Well,
I'm just saying it needs to get popular enough to become like a regular old format at your LGS, maybe one event a week.
Because there's side events at GPs now?
I kind of think that populated places are prohibitively pricey to Poppers, though. That's a problem.
Get out of here. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not downplaying the format. I just think that there are a lot of barriers to it really taking off at the Grand Prix level. Frontier is also, by the way, another great example. So we'll see. I think it's cool.
Years
I think
before
it's cool.
Its time. That's Frontier's problem.
that was one of
we
the
haven't
problems,
reached
yeah.
the frontier yet.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I like the idea of it. Popper seems kind of fun. I played a little Popper back in the day when I could play Storm.
I used to think that the metagame was a lot less dynamic than now what I know it to actually be.
Yeah. There's a lot of decks. I read Adam Yurchik's primer on it a few weeks ago, and it was very interesting. He listed like a dozen different decks and was like, here's kind of what the format revolves around. And these sort of decks are good in this situation, and then it swings to this, and it's a very dynamic format. So I don't know. It actually seemed kind of interesting. I just, you know, we'll see if it can take off in paper at a Grand Prix level. All right. I know Jason is got a Merfolk-related pick of the week, and DJ probably has a Popper pick of the week, so why don't we just go ahead and do that?
Pick of the week, pick of the week, pick of the week. Time for the pick of the week.
We're on the topic.
I want to hear the popper pick.
Popper pick?
My popper pick
popper
is
popper picks are appealing to people.
My popper pick is actually Pyroblast.
Okay.
Because
it... Man, I picked a pack of Pyroblast for my paper popper picks the other day. It was...
God, shut up.
Pretty powerful, Pyroblast, I think.
Did you pick them aplenty?
Gosh, shut up. Make it stop.
It prohibits people from playing problematic spells. You can even prevent a problematic planeswalker.
Should have said problematic permanence. Embarrassing.
Pyroblast is like a dollar even after the Eternal Masters reprint, and it is legal because it was a common in Ice Age.
What about Red Elemental Blast? Isn't that legal?
I don't think so. I think Red
It was common in 4th edition.
DJ types furiously. Yeah, waiting, buffering.
It is right, a... Okay, Red Elemental Blast is also legal, but the difference is that the Pyroblast can target any spell.
So can Red Dead
Isn't it...
Blast?
Yeah,
sure. No, you can target any spell with Pyroblast.
No, they're not the same.
Because you can... it says counter target spell if it's blue, or destroy target permanent if it's blue, but you can still cast the spell to get triggers on stuff like Kiln Fiend.
Correct.
Oh.
Whereas Red Elemental Blast says counter target blue
spell. Counter target blue spell.
But Pyroblast, you can declare any target with it. Any target is legal.
Wow.
It also matters. It actually matters sort of the opposite way in Legacy, where you don't want people to be able to redirect it. So you you play the one that can only hit blue things. But yeah, there's a difference. So I don't know. We'll see. What does that do? Is that for Kiln Fiend specifically, or what else is there?
I mean, it goes in every like red deck. You play it in Burn. You play it in like all of the...
Because there's just a bunch of Delvers.
Yeah, Delver's basically like one of the best creatures in the format.
Yeah. Isn't there...
You said you read Adam Yurchik's primer, Corbin. Like you should know what Pyroblast goes in.
Oh! Got him. He didn't read the primer. He just
copy-edited it, yeah.
So did you know that some people use their job as host to ask questions of the people who are experts so that it can be then explained to the viewer?
Are you saying I'm a popper expert?
Please.
You know more about it than us. You are very much a poor.
Yeah, there you go.
I just sell cards to poors.
Do they have a format called Peasant? They do, don't
they? Yeah, it is.
They do.
It's 5 uncommons, I think.
Sure.
How is that?
I don't know why the number's 5.
Less.
They're all just arbitrary, made-up stuff.
How about Surf? There should be a...
01 block tokens or whatever?
Oh, I made my deck for a Canadian feudal farmer. It's really great.
All right, I'll go next. I'm interested to see what you guys think of this one. But I'm going to pick Cabal Coffers at around just over 20 right now because we saw a bump on the FNM promo from 30 to 40 not very long ago. And the Cabal Coffers is sitting just over 20 right now, but it's had decent growth already this year.
If this isn't in Masters 25, I'm going to be really upset.
Yeah, but we could say that about, you know, any of 20 cards that won't be in it, you know, so...
They need to... There's some stuff that they missed their... If they miss this reprint window, it's just going to be dumb. Because where do you reprint Cabal Coffers after this?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to put it in a Commander deck because it's just so good.
I just learned... Could. Okay, so, minor aside, I play Gonti as one of my favorite Commander decks, and I've been playing it for several months now. I just now today learned that Cabal Coffers is not legendary.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I put a Thespian Sage in my Gonti deck today. That's the moral of that story.
Yep. Yep. So, I don't know. I think that it's going to be 30... keep in mind, too, now that we're in the first week of January, the first couple months of the year are typically when Magic cards go up the most. And for something that showed growth towards the end of 2017, when cards typically kind of just stagnate, Cabal Coffers seems like one of those just poised to, you know, to... I won't use the word correction. Got some angry notes about that one. But for a
From
card
who?
That will move upward...
Our Discord friends.
To accurately reflect...
We don't
reflect.
Have any friends in the Discord.
It won't correct upward. Money. It will move upward in price to accurately represent the demand for it.
So, correct.
Well, you said it, man.
They're
coming
at
you, man. They're coming for
you. Oh, what are they going to do? Get blocked? Is that what they're going to do? They're going to get blocked by me in Discord?
They paid you money to get into your Discord, and you're going to block them?
I've done it before. Look, people are nerds, and they went to patreon.com/brainstormbrewery.
There it is.
And they gave us money to be a part of our Discord.
How much
for
money,
as little
Jason?
As $1 per month, which is 20 or 25 cents an episode. They got to be in our Discord, and you can be in there too, and then piss me off and get blocked. So,
if you're blocked on Twitter by Jason, you can pay $1 just to have another go at him, where he will be forced to read it.
Yeah, that's true. And also, if I block you in Discord, I can still see what you wrote, and you can still see what I wrote, so it's kind of worthless.
What does blocking people actually do then, Jason?
What's that?
What does blocking people do in Discord?
They can't DM you,
I
guess?
Not very much. I see one blocked message, and then if I click on it, I can read it.
Oh, I see. Interesting. Which you will.
But it doesn't...
curiosity at that point.
Yeah, I have to elect. So I can filter out your stupid words in Discord. But Corbin and DJ will read whatever you type in there. And that for $1 a month, that's absurdly low.
And then we
and
might
also,
if Jason
Patreon
doesn't
walk,
read it, we might screenshot it and send it to him anyway.
Yeah that's true. If you roast Jason hard enough, we will share it with him.
So Patreon walked back their whole thing where they're going to do that absurd new fee structure. So Patreon is still like a good way to support us. And if you like are a popper enthusiast, for all the paper popper people, what you could do for free to support us is go to YouTube and just subscribe to our channel. We're going to do a giveaway at 2,000 subscribers, and we are very nearly there. So every click
very
helps
nearly.
Us smash that subscribe button and help us.
What was the?
What should they do with the?
Get to the smallest number possible. Like the worst content creators in history have 100,000, and we have 2. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Jason, what should they do if they encounter a notification bell?
They should finger blast it.
Finger blast it. Okay.
Finger blast the notification bell.
Okay. Good.
So whenever we release a new video, and it's not just our weekly podcast that we've converted to video, we also have these small segments called Brain Bites that are a couple of minutes, and they will give you real relevant information because stuff happens between Brainstorm Brewery episodes. And we could be a little bit more nimble and get that stuff out there.
I've got
so
2 of those that
subscribe for the podcast episodes and Brain Bites, or just subscribe to potentially be a winner of our giveaway. That's a way to support us for $0. Go to youtube.com, I'm assuming, /brainstormbrewery and subscribe.
I actually don't think that's
the
URL.
Link.
Well,
you just need to search for it. You have to have a certain amount of subscribers before you can create a custom URL.
Wow.
So,
okay. So type Brainstormbrewery on YouTube then.
Oh, JK.
That actually works, Jason.
Well, I just assumed, man. And sometimes when you assume, everything works out fine for you because you're a white dude. So there you go.
Wow.
I use my white privilege to have that be the correct URL.
Give us your pick of the week, Jason.
Okay, so there's
no, it
a
says
merfolk,
does
right?
not exist. Oh, I typed brick.com. JK.
YouTube.com/brainstormbrewery.com. Yeah, don't do that. So, despite not being able to type, Corbin did get to preview a merfolk card, and that merfolk lets you tap other merfolk to do stuff. And sometimes tapping merfolk's bad because then they can't block, but sometimes tapping merfolk's very good. There is a merfolk from Lorwyn called Surge Spanner. When Surge Spanner becomes tapped, usually by attacking, you may pay a colorless and a blue, and if you do, you can bounce a perm. Pretty good. So what you want to do is you want to tap Surge Spanner to activate the ability on this new merfolk guy. I don't have his name in front of me.
Kumena.
I don't care, he's a merfolk. What?
Kumena.
Yeah, what he said. he has 3 different abilities that let you tap merfolk, so you can choose, you can put counters on your merfolk, you can do all kind of crap. So just tap Surge Spanner to activate that ability, and you can be bouncing stuff. I think Surge Spanner just goes up on principle. I don't even know if this deck's going to get built all that much. I don't know if it's going to be good, but I do know that once people figure out you can use Surge Spanner with that tap ability, It's going to make like Wonderwine profits. So if you want to make Wonderwine profits like profits, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, buy search banner, right meow.
I have a piggyback pick of the week for that. It's not
super... Piggyback pick of the week.
Is it a popper pick or piggyback?
No, it's actually an uncommon.
Are you piggybacking on my pick with a popper paper pick?
It's an uncommon from Lorwyn, Jason, and it goes in that same deck.
Oh,
or not Lorwyn. Shit.
Fallow's Sages?
No. It's not from Lorwyn. It's an uncommon from Worldwake, sorry.
And what did you say? I'm sorry. What it goes in which deck?
The Kumina deck. It's an uncommon from Worldwake, and it goes in the Kumina deck.
Fallow Sage.
Nope, I said a Worldwake.
Oh, yeah, Fallow Sage is from
Lorwyn. It's a
Fallow Sage from Shadowmoor.
Quest for Renewal. How about that, Jason?
Ooh.
It's a 2-mana green enchantment. Whenever a creature you control becomes tapped, you put a counter on it. And then when it has 4 counters, you get to like profit a Kerfix your creatures. You just untap them all the time, every time.
Sure, that card is good. That's a good pick.
That goes in that deck for show.
Is that a pick already?
I mean, it's like 55 cents, so yes.
Yeah.
It's a pick, yeah. Right. But it's like a pick of the week now.
There you go. All the paper, popper. This isn't even legal in popper.
You know what? Make sure and you add Quest for Renewal to the spreadsheet that our $20 patrons have access to.
10. Close enough.
Whatever.
It's better to overshoot than undershoot, I guess.
Make it 20 now. Only our $20. Yeah, so the people that subscribe to our patron at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery at the $10 per month, which is very affordable.
You know what we should have done is we should have made...
You don't even have to listen to our podcast because you get our picks of the week instantly. You get our pick of the week like on Monday. They're getting it right now. It's crazy.
We should have made episode 200 patrons only.
No.
No. 200 was fun. I'm glad. If people haven't listened
to it, there are 200 out. There are actually... Here's the thing. Marcel said that there were like hours of unused stuff. All that stuff, like the cutting room floor crap. We might just like talk about some of that stuff and make that Patreon only. But
that's true. You'd have to convince
episode
Marcel.
Episode 200 and episode 200 part 2 are going to be available to everybody. But there will be some after hours stuff. That we're going to release.
But patrons will get episode 200 and 200 part 2 early, though, if you are at the $5.
That's true, yes.
Well, they already got 200 part 1 early, and they know this.
Yes. Yeah. So. All right, anything else you guys want to say this week before we get out of here?
Buy a Squatty Potty, but not yet.
Yeah, man, a Squatty Potty update. I've emailed them. I've responded to their messages. People pinged them on Twitter. The ball is in Squatty Potty's court. And hopefully after they come back from the holidays
don't
here,
drop
they
the ball,
back to
Squatty
us.
Potty. It might go in a potty if you drop it.
They've gotten everything they need from us. I've sent it all to them. So, I don't know. Just spam them on Twitter. Tell them they need to sponsor us.
Oh, yeah. That's another way you can support us for $0. If you don't have 25 cents an episode to give to our Patreon at patreon.com/brainstormbrewery, you can bug Squatty Potty on Twitter and say, hey, when are you guys going to sponsor Brainstorm Brewery? I'm ready to buy a Squatty Potty for all 5 turlets in my house.
Yeah. Sure. 5 toilets, huh?
But you don't have 20 toilets.
You don't have 25 cents a week for the podcast because you're spending it all on toilets.
They're not. It's not a toilet. It's a stool that goes
by. No, I'm aware of that, but you said somebody has 5 toilets in their house.
I have 5 toilets in my house.
What?
Do you not?
Nobody does.
Apparently Jason does.
I have 4 bathrooms, and then the person put a toilet in the laundry room so you can pee downstairs. You don't have... Not everybody has 5 toilets?
All right, man. That's how
this is why I don't have a popper deck. I moved into this house, and I'm like, you got to sell your popper deck.
That's that money draft life right there, I guess. 5 toilets.
Hey, man, get more toilets.
Man.
Get more... I got to have more toilets than
popper. Dude, I'm going to tell Marianne. I'm going to be like, Marianne, we only have 2 toilets. Did you know Jason has... 5 toilets? If we work hard, maybe one day we can have 5 toilets.
And then she'll say, no, we can't. We can never work hard enough to be as successful as Jason and his wife.
She might say that. She might also say, we have a backyard.
I was going to say,
That's an Oklahoma
toilet. Did that before I could do it to him.
Yeah, I don't have an outhouse, so...
Well, that's not even a joke. In my office, people come in the front and they don't know what's in the back, but there's a door to the back, and I always tell people the bathroom's behind the door. They and open they it, and it goes outside, and they're like, they look back for a second, and then they're just like, all right, you got me.
Don't you have neighbors behind you?
We have trees and fences and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a fence.
Well, it's
is
like
it
a
chain link?
No, it's like a big wood fence.
He can't see me.
I don't care, man.
There's a chain link fence.
And there's like trees and stuff. It's fine. Anyways. 5 toilets. All right.
Hey, work hard. Save your money. Invest in Ethereum and whatever cryptocurrency. And someday you can afford some toilet.
We have a cryptocurrency
in your house. Maybe your house wouldn't have flooded if you had more toilets. Maybe.
That's a good point. We have a cryptocurrency channel on the Discord. It's pretty active. We're having fun with it. So if you're into that life, check it out.
Yeah, that's another reason to be in Discord at patreon.com/brainstorm.
Shut up. All right. Everybody, thank you for listening. enjoy episode 200. If you haven't listened to it yet, go back and find it. It's great. And enjoy, you know, the end of the holidays and back to the grind. I hope 2018 is great for everybody.
Corbin, have you listened to episode 200 yet?
Huh?
Have you listened to episode 200?
I recorded it. Of course I listened to it.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that Corbin's actually listened to the final episode.
Do you go, like, if you go to a sporting event, and I realize you probably don't, but if you go to a sporting event, do you later go home and watch it recorded?
I mean, if you're part of the game, then you go home and watch it later.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, isn't that a whole part of, like, watching game tapes and stuff? Like, yeah, this is where we went wrong. And if you're the OKC Thunder, there's a lot that went wrong.
There is usually a lot that went wrong. I don't want to talk about that.
So your entire analogy is just awful.
I think you're awful.
Okay.
Can I say a sports thing? I don't care about the Lions because I don't care about football because, like, everybody that bullied all of Magic players in high school were football players. But what I will say is the Lions could potentially hire a guy named Jim Bob Cooter as their head coach. And I think that would be the best thing ever. You can't – you lose every argument if you're like, dude, Magic's for nerds. Like, yeah, but your head coach is a guy named Jim Bob Cooter. So I guess you lose
Jason's
forever.
Still fighting battles with high school bullies.
Yeah, I am.
You're one
except
of them.
Now Jason isn't in high school, so it's weird. He goes to the high school and he's like, hey, you bully. Your
it's
coach's
weird
name
to
is
cruise
Jim Bob
by
Cooter.
The high school when they're having football practice and sit in the stands eating popcorn.
Just heckling
just waiting
them,
for one of them to tear their ACL. That's weird. It's weird to do that.
Now, for you, that actually sounds like less weird than some of what you do. That's probably on the normal side for you.
I have confetti, and I throw handfuls of confetti when a dude gets injured in practice. There goes your scholarship!